How you doing? My name is Daniel, doing of the podcast that you love, Kenyan Story.
I just go. Keberigepal, yinyamlak. Zufa ni miska nam yantenew. Amanileti bezu, meret na li letnew. Atas for other go. Ya for some menew. So kinga na komi tu na ilogo nini boy papa sida papasi do nambutama minyoko lieleki nani akoyoka nga na tuniti na baninga na kusala nini we start singing oh yeah oh God Jesus you did sweet me my belle you good good for me you did make me wonder oh I told you I was choreographer so choreographer for not Kenya only even Nigeria I did learn the dances get the dollar.
I don't know about you, but with an introduction like that, should I say any more? That is my guest today, the versatile, the most exciting and very fun interview that we had, and I get to share it with you right now. I'm not going to make this introduction really long. I'd like to thank you gorgeous people for joining me on this episode. And before we get started, I just want to reach out to you and ask you if you can to please go into the donation page. There's a link down in the description below. But if you are on Patreon, patreon.com/DanielDuo, please go in there and make a donation. I have 100 more stories to share and you can help me bring this to life. Please go into the patreon.com/DanielDuo. patreon.com/DanielDuwa. I thank you in advance. Now let's get to the show. You've had a scene in stages all over the world and near you, but now you get to hear her story in our own words here right now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, however you identify, this is Kenyan Stories and my guest today is Helen Mtawali. Welcome, Helen Mtawali. Let's go.
You're well, Lakini?
Very well. You remember when we met at Music Bazaar? I used to run it.
No, I can't remember. You have to remind me.
We met at Yaya. You came with major artists. You guys were best friends.
I think Abura.
We are at Yaya and we're doing this event the whole day, just at the entrance. That's the time we met. And you had such personalities. Just sat there. And the two of you, people are just like, you know, coming and saying hello. And, you know, I mean, just amazing.
You know? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's why we do this, by the way. You know, because people don't know this. Girls don't know this. Men don't know this. Yeah. You know, yesterday somebody told me something very scary.
What's that?
That why would anybody want to hear like their story? Nobody would care.
Oh, for really? Them. Why would they say that?
Like nobody has ever told them they matter.
That's true.
They feel like they're not good enough. And I'm telling them, your story will affect the life of somebody else because somebody else has never gone through your experiences. And your experiences are really important.
Yes.
And we had this long conversation. And after 4 hours, they were just crying, calling their parents and go like, thank you for, you know.
Yeah.
I was really touched.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow. Anyway, people should be ready for entertainment. Mm. That's what people say.
Yeah. The show must go on, right?
I don't know about that, but I love fun.
You do?
Yes, I do. No apologies.
Fun is a good thing.
Yeah.
So how have you been the last few days?
I have been fine. This... You know, right now the industry is somewhat picking, so we got many, many invitations. People calling you everywhere. Yeah, so the challenge is now sometimes creating time.
When I was a kid, I was told the Chinese say, "May you have interesting times," as in it's good to have more than to have less. When you can't find time, that's a good thing. Yes. Okay, because you have to make time for things. It's strange how that happens sometimes. Yeah. So stuff is picking up, yeah?
Yes. Okay. I'll call you in a bit. I'm in a show. Yeah. There's someone who's been calling Miss G for words.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let them know that I'll talk to them later.
Okay.
Yes, I am. Let me now open my camera. I hope I get a letter. Except now, I don't know whether I'll have to put this in a. I don't know whether it's going to bring a bad signal. But...
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
Technology, they've done so much with technology in the last few years that's just amazing.
Yes,
do you know when I was a kid and started writing, I used to walk around and go do these interviews and I would just talk to someone and then I had to remember because you can't write it down. When you start writing down, people lose focus. Yeah. So I had to go sit down and remember what everything I said. And then now when they publish, you go like, when did you do the interview? You go like, when we were talking. Hey, nice to see you.
Okay, now that's better. I hope I was increasing like 1 hour.
Eh?
Yes. I hope my face is inaonekana. Yes.
Ah, unaonekana vizuri. You're very, very beautiful.
As okay, you go ahead then.
So, we're just going to have a conversation and you're going to tell me about your life so far.
People say it's better for you to put it like this. Are you looking at me like this?
Yeah, I'm going like this.
Okay.
I'll keep it that way,
portrait here.
Yes, that's better. Yes.
If I used a computer, maybe it would have been given you the other angle.
So, we've been talking for a while as you were preparing, which was kind of cool.
Yes.
Yeah. So thanks for your time, first of all. Like stuff is picking up, like you're saying before. And this is Kenyan Story, so it's your Kenyan story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a conversation we're going to have. Hopefully we get to know you better and you just tell me and the world, we're just having a conversation about where you've been so far, where you're going, what drives you, anything. I mean, it's your story, so let's start from there. Let's start with basic. You're a president. I saw that somewhere.
That's what they call me. Okay, I started out with being a president. First of all, my name is Helen Olivia Akotho Molo Nyarnyakach Makinena Kawutho. Therefore, Mtawali, my long introduction.
Say that again slowly so we hear it.
Helen Olivia Akoth Omolo Nyar Nyakach Makine Naka Wutu Tadwongora, therefore, Mtawali. Now, this I added lately because people think that I am the Miriam Makeba of Kenya, so that is symbolic.
Wow.
Because I love Zulu songs a lot. Yeah. And then Zulu people from the south, their range is really, really low. So apparently my voice wakes up at 12. Voice wakes up at 12.
So what does your name mean, by the way? It's many things. So for people like us, if you translate.
It's actually just a definition of me, Helen Olivia Akotho Molo. You know, long-time parents wouldn't give you just one name. They would give you Christian names, maybe two, and then an African name, and then the family name. So Helen is my name. Olivia Akoth is my maiden name. Omolo is my father's name. Nyar Nyakach. Makine naka wutu tadwongora, therefore. That means I come from Nyakach. But when you see me walk, I go. That's it. Yeah. Kine naka wutu. That means when you see me walking. Adwongora, therefore. That means the shoes I put on must announce my coming.
Wow. That reminds me of my math teacher when I was a kid in high school. She had those kind of shoes and you could just hear coming from across.
You hear them coming, you hear. Yeah. So it's a sound that I got from South Africa, Zulu, the Zulu people. So that's part of their, their alphabet. So there's Lentlela, any place is a Q, this sound. And then lentlela, kun.
Wow, amazing.
I tell you, with that song means that everybody has their own perth. Mira Makeba song, that's ink, mira lentlela, kun, twane, ink, mira lentlela, kun, twane, seven, I had to learn this from Zumai Zulu friends. So, the song says that that means when the cows are at the seashore and I'm at the shore drinking water, the fact that the frogs the frogs, even if they go big, and you know the way they fura, it will not hinder the cow from drinking water, you know. And then it also means that everybody has inkhalat, means everybody, from the word nji, you know, almost like Swahili. Everybody has their own part, so don't go competing with everyone, because you have your own gifting and your own uniqueness. Yes.
That's great advice. The only problem, we live in a world of social media where everybody shows everybody stuff that we don't even own or believe in or whatever.
Yes.
It's such a challenge, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you navigate that?
Huh?
How do you navigate that?
Navigating that, the fact that social media somehow actually sets the agenda for us. But one of the things that I think social media has done successfully is to be able to showcase people's giftings. Whether you're in the home, I mean, from you don't need TV to be able to showcase what you're good at. So it has given us another media to be able to communicate with, to showcase whatever, you know. Somebody can just go by, take a video with your little Android phone, as long as the lighting is great, and boom, before we know it, you become a good thing, as long as it's something that's unique. So, and then also, the fact that it has also made people know their line. Have you ever been exposed to too much until you realize, you know what, let me just do me. Let me just do me. So there could be so many Rihannas, but there's just one Rihanna. There could be people who want to sing like her, but there's still just one Rihanna. So you cannot be somebody else. So just do you. Do you. Mm. So... It really doesn't matter. Everybody is born uniquely, and God has given you unique eyes, unique body, you know, and unique everything. So probably my advice then and my take is just do you. Love you, do you. Self-love is very important in this age and era, because people look for approval a lot from social media. You look for approval from people, and... as long as you're confident in what you're doing, you don't need anybody else to tell you who you are. Just do you. Somebody's going to appreciate, whether it's one or two people. That reminds me of the way people, you know, the way you go to Mathare and you find 17 churches all clogged upon one place, but you still find members for every church. It doesn't really matter whether they're 17 or what. You'll still find people following whoever has opened the church. So
I'm losing you. The network is falling off.
Okay. I'm saying that sometimes it doesn't really matter where you are. In Mathare, you'll find three Akorino churches almost clogged at the same place, but you find people you find a congregation still, you know? So it means that it doesn't really matter. So you do you, you still get followers anyway.
It's insane. So for me, you're an institution in this country, especially in creative arts and music, and you've done a lot of work. How did you come to get into music? When did you start? How did you start singing? Who encouraged you?
I love that.
Given that we live in Kenya, where...
I love that. Yeah, when everybody is a musician, as long as you can sing. as long as you can talk, you can sing. Yeah, that's a very good question. But how do I answer this? I tell people that I started singing when I was in mom's womb. She said I would go... and she sees me on the corner, beatboxing in her stomach. My mom says that I used to really, really love singing even when I was very, very young. And there's a time I almost died. I had, what's the name of this thing? Diseases. I had not pneumonia, I had measles.
Hmm.
And I passed out. What brought me back to was the fact that at some point where they were almost giving up, they just saw some sad on my mouth, povu. And then I started singing, Moto umewaka leo, moto nikazi ya Yesu. And that's how I got cured. That's how I got cured. And the next thing is, was my mom. Oh my gosh. My doctors tried to treat me, etc. I wasn't. But then after I sang that song, I was okay. And as a kid, I just started playing. You know? So from then on, my mom knew I have a special gift of singing. So my dad would take me places. My dad was a choir director. So when he would conduct different choirs, he would call me, we go to different places to sing. Mm-hmm. And he would teach, instruct people. I would also help him in instructing. The little me was like, "Toka komendo ibe do re mi so la la, do re mi so." So I would imitate. Then yeah. Before I knew it, we had now a house, our home choir, where any visitor comes to the house, we would definitely entertain them. Yeah. And guess who would be the leader? Me. I'm the second born. But my elder sister used to be very quiet.
Mm.
So they would give responsibilities to me. Apparently, all of us now are teachers. All the girls in the house are teachers, courtesy of our mom. Thanks be to God. My mom was a headmistress for a long time in different schools. Now she has a school behind her backyard.
Yeah,
you can tell now that's a home of teachers. Apparently, we all turned out to be people who know how to teach. All of us. Yeah, including my younger sister. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we lost my brothers. All my brothers died. Oh, they died. One died at 40, another one died at 39. So,
sorry about that.
Yes.
Mm.
But so they're already also very, very renowned. Yeah. And my brother used to play for me drums in the band. And then later on, he was a very good musician, well punished, but he was a fashionista. He loved fashion and everything. And then my other brother was a popular guy. I taught him how to do MC work. He's a renowned MC. Then he joined politics. Woe unto him. That's how his life started going like this. Because people would handle him. He loved security stuff a lot. Because my dad worked with the Air Force for a while. So stuff to do with security, you know, soldier. With his height, he really loved that. His name is Dan.
Like me.
He was killed. He was murdered by... You know politics, he just know politics. So he was murdered very brutally by some of his opponents.
Sorry about that.
Yes.
So it feels like it's a family that you got the art from your father, so the singing from your father, and the calling from your mother. So the teaching from your mother, singing from your father. The
singing from my father, yes. But my mom was still a singer anyway. My father would be a director and she's not singing. No, she also was a singer. She would sing alto. In fact, I learned alto from her. She would sing alto.
I am tempted to ask if you know their story of how they met. Did they meet in choir?
No. My father and mother go to this East Africa Revival Fellowship. So those people largely do arrange marriages. So apparently, I think their marriage was arranged where you don't even katia the name. You just are told, "Oh, Washington, nataka kuoa. Ameleta maneno hapa kwa hii usirika. Ndio watu waanze kutafuta njia. Kama kuna mtu yote ambaye anataka kuolewa hapa." Ule huko kwa hiyo age. Then my father had to choose. And my father was polite, you know. He said, "Let me choose this teacher."
Yeah.
This at a later education kwa nyumba.
Yeah.
And that's how my mom got married. It was arranged, super arranged. Mm. My mother's personality was very different because she was ushago, total ushago. She came to Nairobi, was brought in Nairobi by my father. My father knows Swahili. She doesn't know Swahili.
Yeah.
They go to the shop. When they go to the shop, my mother now gets to shop and they are walking with my father. And then apparently my father will be cheeky, I tell you. Decided to, you know, retreat. And then slowly left and went back home.
Mm.
He said, "You know what? She will find her way.
Wait.
Mama yangu ni nani? Mama yangu ni nani?" Yeah. He just said, "This guy has left me, sawa." Went to the shop and says, "Mama, unataka hii? Unataka kikapu?" And then she says, "Unataka kikapu?" Yani she would repeat and echo back whatever that person says in Swahili. Right now, I tell you, she's a Swahili translator.
Wow.
She translates for anybody who needs to be talked to in Swahili.
Wow.
Yani, mwalimu ni nani?
Yeah.
She's able to speak very, very well. So,
yeah.
So she went to hii, apana hii, hii, apana, uyo ingine, uyo, uyo.
Wow.
Yeah, to now she can speak very eloquent Swahili. Yes.
Mm. Wow, amazing. Amazing.
Yes. Yes. She even testifies with Swahili. She teaches in Swahili. Yeah. You know, her Swahili is very, very good. But of course, no Luo. There's no Luo without English.
Yeah.
Ata wimbo. Otherwise, teacher Nade Omera, Wugane Kaindi, you will teach me how. Yani, there has to be a way for English.
It's a very proud culture, yeah? And people.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And some people will take it. Like, for example, sometimes you look at it and you find it's like it's arrogant, but it's not arrogant when you're around them. It's very proud. It's a proud culture and a proud people and very confident. Mm-hmm. Is it confidence or just bravado?
I think it's, no, it's, what is it now? It's a stereotype. We just love stereotyping. We love to exaggerate excess. Is equals to Luo, you know?
Yeah.
Something is there, yes, but then we force it our way, you know? We are the Englishmen of Kenya because our language is close to English. The vocabulary is full of alphabet from Luo and some English words are Luo. Like you write it down as tomato, but kwa Kijaluo we say tomato. Which means, what is this? And this is what, you know? You write it down as bat, but in Luo, you say, manu boot. Boot ginere, and it is near something. We have our own way to coin stuff. Three quarters of the time, people say Patrick Lumumba's English is Luo.
Yeah. He's very eloquent.
Or Daniel, you know? So, Kamitie, they pull this. So they think that sometimes he coins Luo words into English.
Wow.
Yeah.
And speaking of these, that's how your parents met, arranged marriage. What's your belief in love? I mean, of course, so we live in a world where I don't think you take arranged marriage. I know it's early in the podcast, but let's just talk about love already. What's your belief in love?
Oh, gosh, I don't know, really, because mine was also close to arranged marriage, but it wasn't because my husband is Pentecostal and this orientation is really like Anglican. So for once, my mother allowed me to, you know, just do me and not necessarily the way they met. So apparently my husband was a pen pal. Just found me out, like, you know, saw me and then started writing. And you'd write for me letters every day, literally every day. But who am I? You write letters. Mimi ni jaluo ndachukua simu ni kupige hi. How are you doing? Ni kupige. So he would write 7 letters in a week and I would call him once. Then story kwisha, you know. But largely we met where he saw me singing and he found out about Daystar. Came to Daystar to study for a while, a short course. And then from there, our story just, you know, and the next thing I knew, he was arranging a wedding. And that time, I think I was like 27 years old. So I was not going to wait for anything else. So I said, okay, he said, I don't want you to be my girlfriend. I have no time for girlfriend, boyfriend relationships. I want a wife.
Yeah.
And that's how come. That statement alone was enough to hit home. That's how I married the guy. But again, his orientation is different. I had to learn so many things from him because I come from this place where, I don't know, love for me was something that was supposed to be an abomination. You don't just love a man like that. And a lot was closed our way because of this kind of Christian orientation. When you meet men, you talk to men, it's almost a sin. You will go to hell because men will mislead you or things like that. So I knew if you really dated, that means if it was not in God's timing, you're going to hell, you know? And that affected my marriage for a while because I knew even sex was a sin, you know? But later on, I had to go through a counselor who talked to me and made me understand the dynamics. I was able to understand. The only problem is now people later on, ukisha fundishwa, now you go native.
Yeah.
Now you are the one who is the expert. Let me tell you how it is supposed to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Anywho, so I later on started appreciating love, understood love, because for me, I knew somebody who writes to you loves you, and that's it. So there's a lot that was close in my eyes, I didn't know what real love was like, apart from just being told you're pretty, you're, you know, like that. And if there's no communication through a letter or anything written, then there's no love, things like that. Then now you reality check comes in when you start living with a man, and then you realize he snores at night, and you're like, a person who snores, are they really loved? You know, this man is loving me, but he's snoring at night. I don't think he loves me. Eh? He's supposed to hide it. So I went through a lot. Even for me to be the way I am with the orientation, you should see my pictures. Oh my gosh, some of my photos are 1920 when I was in primary school. That person and this person are completely different people. So slowly as I continued looking on, seeing what issues people go and wrestle with when they're talking about love, I had started I agreed with one of the definitions. They said that love is a silly complication of a pleasant simplicity.
Silly complication of?
A pleasant simplicity.
Wow.
You know, it's something simple, but people complicate it because of silliness, you know. Find people fighting with a pillow for no reason. Somebody actually paving their reins to go and pick up a girl. Then you meet the girl and you're like, so what do we talk about now? You know, it's a silly complication of a pleasant simplicity.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. You know, you know, the strangest thing is you talk about this stuff and it's so strange and so distant for me that you are in a religion and you could experience some of this stuff. That is very, and in Kenya.
Yeah.
And in Kenya, because for me, that never occurred to me. It's we live in the city and that's very strange.
Yes.
Would you say a religion has had a great impact in the person you've turned out to be right now?
Yes, that's true. Because ideally, for a long time, I did not believe in boy-girl relationships. I thought it was a sin. So that, in one way, it gave me a check to be able to live pure because of fear, you know? And then on the other hand, I know there's a lot that was closed out my path because of religion. So there's certain things I didn't know. I started wrestling with when I was older and it made me ask questions. Why did I fall in love? And is this really true love? If somebody says they love you and now my husband comes from a different culture, completely culture that is so African. They don't believe in what women say unless, you know, thank God for Daystar. At Daystar, I learned cultural anthropology that allows you to not be egocentric. Do not judge somebody from your own culture. Judge them from their worldview. Apart from just laughing at it, people should not be unfair to other humans. Human beings, they deserve to live. They deserve to also live right, and they deserve to enjoy life. Don't think that you are the only one that the world was made for you. No. So that gave me certain dynamics that I was able to appreciate that maybe now look at marriage a different way. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't understand. People say I'm growing reverse. I'm supposed to be growing older and yet I look younger. So, which is supposed to be a blessing to me.
Wow.
It's a blessing to me, yes. Most kids, when they look at my photos, and photos can also lie. Yeah, so they look at my photos, they think I'm 24, they think I'm 30. Until I talk to them, I tell me, no, don't come to me telling me about love. There's nothing you know about love. In fact, if anything, I should be the one teaching you. Yeah, because Allah, what do you know? So then they realize, Allah, this woman is so wise. This woman has accomplished so many things. Yeah, the fact that I'm very, very simple doesn't mean that that anybody can now manipulate, because they think like, until they get to me, then they realize, hey, Allah, this lady, first is well read, next she's not very ignorant, there's so much that she has experienced.
Yeah.
And then they remember, oh, I'm supposed to be 24.
Yeah.
So they start thinking their age now, and then you tell them the realities of the world. Tell them, don't rush. It's never about what you feel, because you might feel something for someone, it could be just infatuation. You see them die. There are some people who have met me and they're suicidal. They're like, if I don't marry you, I will die. I'm like, sorry, boss, I'm married already. What cannot be confused?
How do you handle that, by the way?
I usually just listen to them because used to, in the past I would bash them, and then I realized that that mentally would disturb some. There's even one who actually moved out of Kenya because of how I handled him. He said, "You know what? My only solution is get out of this country." Yeah. That affected him. I don't know how much a lifetime I would affect them. So these days, I don't rush with them. I take time with them and probably use that opportunity to cancel them. So that by the time they're done, they're like, anyway, let me just accept, because ideally I can't take this woman anywhere. She is very firm, and I can be very firm, but subtle, very subtle. You think like, oh my gosh, I want her, until you start talking to me, then tell you, slow down, doesn't work like that. Please come, I have to see you now. There's something, please come to my house. I need this and this. I'm like, trickster. So I would tell them some of those things, just laughing. And then they'd be like, oh my gosh, this woman is so hard. I'm like, it's not that I'm hard. It's you who need to know your priorities, right? And then I'll help you to be able to live in your youth in its fullness and enjoy. Okay, you have feelings like this, that's normal. That's okay. Let me tell you, it will last you 2 days. And then after that, what do you do? Are you going to be suicidal still? You know? Yeah. And unfortunately, people, or men, or even girls. Yeah. Today, the world is so changed. Even girls come to me and they're like, you know what? I saw you and I just felt like, you know, I love you. I have to be your lover. I'm like, damn. I'm in the high school and I enjoy story. Relax. Relax. So when I depend, I said,
what does that mean, by the way?
Some of them, like
in high school, that part.
Lesbians. In high school, there's a lot of lesbianism. And then when they see that, then I experience how girls are so bold to tell you how they love you, and you're thinking, boss, you have a flat thing like me. What? Sorry, I'm sorry, for lack of a better word. Where am I taking you?
No, I mean, it's your story. It's your story, yeah.
Yes. Unapelekana wapi. You know, naturally, a woman feels nice when they know there's a male voice. Or so I sometimes would wonder, is it because I have a male voice? That's why people, I'm a very deep voice. That's why people start imagining. I have had lesbians want to die, because they're like, you know, if I don't find, they are looking for just one moment, and they use all tricks. And I'm telling you, lesbians don't give up. So I told them, find a way to tell them. First, thank God, because I'm a Christian. Sometimes even scripture doesn't work for them. So I look for ways to make them understand that no matter what, I am straight.
Yeah. But I think people should love whoever they love, just so long as we live in a world where, like you said, be you, do you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And if that's not you, I think also people should respect that. So
they should respect that, yes.
Yeah. But as we respect everybody else's spaces, yeah?
Yes.
But one thing I want to go back to is you started, you said you're growing back, you're growing up backwards.
Backwards, yes.
Yeah, and I feel like you started this at 27 when you know what I mean?
I started what at 27?
Growing like, you know, before you are very religious, and now you have to learn to fall in love, you have to learn to live in the world. Then you went to Daystar, and your worldview changed, and now you're more open to stuff.
Yes.
And in this country, in the world, literally, when a person gets to 27, and especially a woman, you get to 27, there are all these pressures. Even a man, I mean, I've gone through the same stuff, 27 to 30, 35. Now, one thing I want to ask you, I know you didn't see this coming. We're living in a world where, when I was growing up, women are told, be independent, do your thing, good stuff. But nobody told them that you can be that stuff and do all these other things. You sing, you dance, you have fun, all these things. They concentrate on career, whatever it is. And now we're having a group of men and women who the world left them behind. They're in their 30s and they don't get the attention and whatever. And they're causing all these chaos because they don't get the attention, they don't get the love, they don't get the all this stuff that they used to get, they should have gotten as a kid. And probably you've experienced this in your dealing with people.
Yes.
You're growing forward as you grow backwards.
Yes.
What's your view on this? Because I'm struggling to understand this part.
First of all, let's talk about that aspect of being versatile. I learned being versatile from Daystar University, knowing that the world expects you to live a certain way, and yet you also have your own expectation and goals. There are career goals. As a person who is intelligent, as a person, my mother, the fact that my mother was well-read and she believed in education and school helped me to achieve higher education. And me at a C, I'm not 844. I am higher, high school. Any of those ones of, I finished from four, went to higher, finished higher, came to university, which is a longer process than these days where you finish 844, you finish from four and straight into university, which made me also shape my worldview quite a bit. But when I go to Daystar, that's where my life transformed. Because at Daystar, the education, again, is transformational. I met teachers who would make me think out of the box. I met teachers who also would allow me to not look at everything square, bullet theory. You must ask questions. The teacher has said, the book says, what are you saying? So in one way, I started learning another perspective to life. That inquisitiveness and that ability to see life differently made me also wrestle with knowledge, find out what other people say about certain things, which gave me an open mind, because Guatanero, where I was a closed mind, would receive everything bullet. So I started thinking of myself differently. I'm like, you know what? I am God's creature and nobody dictates what I should live like. As long as I know, I live according to what the Bible says. So that means I introduce myself into reading the Bible on my own and understanding it on my own. So Bible study. So Bible study allowed me to also think different perspective. And that is what I took to apply in everything I do. In music, be versatile. In whatever you do, you think, if there was not this, what else would be? And that shaped the whole perspective of how I see life. That's why I'm saying that if you think of it that way, you'll always live knowing that today is an opportunity that nobody else has. If you live that way, you will live out of stress. My daughter right now, who is the only daughter I have, I'm only one child. But apart from that, I raise other people's children, you know, like as if they were my own. I would wonder why today's generation, my daughter for a while had depression, and I was wondering, why should she have it and she's the only one? Why should she have it and we care? She has a caring father, a caring mother. Why should she? Then I realized that she was also now trying to be a loner in this generation where people have fear, a lot of fear. And that would make her, I would wonder why my daughter would not play outside. People would come for her. Please come, let's play. People come, as in she decided, kumbe, inside these four corners, there's a lot that was wrestling in her mind. Today, she studies psychology and realizes some of the things she used to wrestle with that helped her come out of that little cocoon. And that started making her ask questions. Why is my mother used to look like this before. How come now she looks even younger, more rejuvenated? Because I found first my purpose in life. Once you find your purpose in life, you know you're channeling focus. You're focusing whatever you're doing, knowing that it will yield you results. One of the stress agents in this life is when people have no purpose. If you have no purpose, you don't live for a reason and to establish a goal, then that means you'll be still asking questions about your life. And that is one of the major things that brings in stress in people's lives. Then that also now exposes me to objective thinking. Any information that comes to my mind, I will look at it very objective. Every opportunity that comes to my mind, I will think of it objectively in my working, and also very intentional. Some jobs are standard. All people will know that sit in an office, do this, finish, and produce 8 to 5. Mine is not the type. Because of the gifting that I have, you do not put me in an enclosed place. Because if you put me in an enclosed place, then you will not receive, you will not produce. And that's a thank God for internet and technology. That today, even if you insist that I appear 8 to 5, question is, am I productive? And even if I'm not productive, then I'll go online and be productive. When Daystar notice that I have arms way beyond just that little confined place, they let me be. And that is because I allowed versatility to rule. I realized I'm not just a singer, I'm a teacher. I'm not just a teacher, I'm a dancer. Not just a dancer, but a choreographer. Not just a choreographer, I'm a linguist. Not just a linguist, I am an actress. And all these have opened many, many avenues for me until they're like, now, these are the gifted. If you are a musician and you're an artist, today I teach people how to explore their potential. Because if you know your value, nobody will put you in a cocoon. And that has allowed me to live younger because I enjoy what I do, I'm doing. When people identify and see their worth, they've seen their potential, you're able to produce, not necessarily in the four corners of a building. You will still be able to produce. After that, I realized that I was not a great speaker. I was not an orator. As I continued doing me, my skills in speech became better. Today, if when we go out to market the university as a brand ambassador, nobody wants to speak after me. Why? There's something I do with public speaking skills that kids just go wild. So I go out, speak to them as a brand ambassador, but not just speak. I have a singing gift. So I sing to them, engage them, and music has a way to just pull the crowd. So even if they are not concentrating, I use music first and then be able to grab their attention. Once I hook their attention, I can say anything I need to say in 2 minutes and bang on. They will listen to me.
This is your purpose. What would you say is your purpose?
My purpose. Right. First of all, I identified my gift, what my gift is. My gift is to teach. So I realized I know how to teach and get information that I know, pass it on to somebody else. Once I know that, I realize I also have another gift of singing. So I use music as a channel, as a way to be able to pass any information in any field. I use music to speak. Then I realized that I needed to sharpen my music to be able to transform the lives of the youths. And my goal is ideally among the youths, because youths relate with me first. I speak 16 languages, including Sheng. In Nairobi, when I realized that I know how to speak Sheng, then I would first of all use Sheng as a link to connect with the youths. Then from then on, if I want to speak to them about purity, I can be able to speak to them about purity. If I want to speak scripture to them, I can. Now when we go out to speak in schools, I tell them the essence of education, essence of higher education, essence of university education. But first of all, I have music that comes in as a gift that I have. One of the things that I know is when you are a brilliant communicator, you can always get your way in anything, anything. Even if I was to communicate mathematics, I would do it perfectly because of the gift that I want. So my purpose for life is to be able to transform lives and transform them in any way, be able to communicate to them and talk to them about the essence of life, essence of discovering their potential, to be able to use that potential to build a great future.
I hope that you're enjoying the conversation so far. So I'm going to take a small break and tell you some of the other stuff I do. Then we're going to get back with my guest, the award-winning singer and icon, Hellen Mtawalli. I'd like to thank you again for joining me on this Kenyan story. It's amazing that you're here and I appreciate you. And also, I would appreciate very much if you can go to Daniel Dua Books on Amazon. Daniel Dua Books on Amazon and get yourself a copy. In that way, you get to support this work. And also, if you're so inclined, you can sign up for business leadership training session with me. That is Daniel Dua Business Leadership Coaching. The description is in the show notes below. And finally, also, if you're so inclined and you love art or merchandise, you can go to the Love Art Store by Daniel Dua. Again, these are ways you can support this work. Of course, there's the donate button, patreon.com/Daniel Dua, or a direct donation link is in the show notes below. All the details are in the show notes below. Thank you ever so much for being here, and thank you for joining me on this conversation as we hear the story of Hellen Mtawalli so far. Let's get back to the story. I hope you are enjoying it, and if you are, please share.
Speaking of future, we have to go to your past. And you've been a renowned singer. You've been a renowned teacher in music. What are some of the best memories you have for music so far? The places you've played, the people you've met, how music has transformed your life, and some of the challenges you've had with being a musician, specifically.
So one of the things that I love about my music is it has enabled me to meet a lot of great personalities. They say your gift will make a way for you before kings and queens. So the fact that I found out a way to sing that represents us, found out a way to use my voice as a vocalist, I was able to be listened to by great people. So I get invitations to go to different state houses. I get invitations to travel wild. When I discovered that I could be able to speak 16 languages, somebody went online and checked out and said, hey, this lady who speaks many languages, why don't we use her gift instead of having to invite a Nigerian to lead worship, so and so to lead worship, etc. Let's just invite her and see what she can be able to do. So the first time I ever received an invitation to Ethiopia, I was going to sing in Amharic. Wow. And thank God for Daystar, because at Daystar I met an Ethiopian girl who taught me how to sing Amharic songs, and then I would teach her English. So I went to Ethiopia to lead them in singing. And then I found it was an all-African leadership conference. Guess what? If they needed a song from Nigeria, they'd tell me, Helen, do you know songs from Nigeria? Leaders in worship from Nigeria. And the Nigerians would go wild. I tell them, Niger is one of the languages that they speak. Oh, make you give it to me. Oh, one touch. I will give them Niger music. Oh, and one way. You go sing like Niger people. Don't I look like Calabar? One touch like that. I get touch people's life from Nigeria, and Nigeria are plenty for the crowd. When they get plenty for the garden, all the Niger people, we are here. Oh, we start singing. Oh yeah, oh God Jesus, it is sweet me my belly. You good for me. You did make me wonder. Oh, we go into Niger music, and I don't learn one Niger song. No, I go learn plenty of Nigerian songs, and we go Niger. We go Niger well, low, sing and dance like them. That I told you I was choreographer. So choreographer for not Kenya only, even Nigeria. I did learn the dances well, low. They would feel Nigeria. We step into South Africa, one touch. I sing to them like the South Africans we do. South African music is very plenty. It's nice. Nice. It touches the head because of apartheid now. It touches the head. And immediately we start singing South African songs, and everybody will become South African. And even me, I'll become South African. All the South Africans in the house will just feel like, we are in South Africa. Hey, Chineke. Then we go to Central Africa. So Kingana coming to na logo nini baba pasta pasta na butama minyoko lieleki nani ako yokanga na tunitu na baninga na kusala nini. So, tunaingia mujimbo, tunaimba. Banyimbo wa kutoka huko Mkongo. Bakongo mani, wale wanajua Kiswahili, ba kutoka ho, mkafu, na wale wanatoka pale kwa mujini, watanisikia, hapo anvile, France, inakuja moko. And I finish now. Listen, yeah. Ethiopians were never colonized, so they don't like English. They don't like English. I just go, Kebe Rigepal, Yenyam Lak, Kebe Rigepal, Yenyam Lak, Zofa, Nimiska, Nam Yanteneo. So they think that I know only one song. They go, Tamanineti Bezo, Meretnali, Letneo, Atas for other go, Ya Farasameneo. And I can change my voice, and you think it's an Ethiopian singing. I was a celebrity in Ethiopia in 1 week. 1 week, so Ethiopians would see me, they're like, hey, we've seen you, yet the dollar, you know, before I know it, it was speaking the language, I tell you. And that's what I'm saying, it only can happen through a musician. That's what we're called, we're gifted, because I was able to touch many, many lives in the twinkling of an eye. I would love to say that if you explore your potential, you get opportunities. So I was able to get opportunities to sit even before kings and queens. Obama, hujakutana na Obama, mimi nilisapata huyo brother yangu, nikamuona mpaka na macho. Bush, George Bush, wewe hujaona Bush, mimi. Chuck Norris, and Chuck Norris, ama ni nani? Our great Hollywood people, my gift took me to the US. And there's a time they actually even wanted people who have participated in American idols, like competitions. Oh, I was representing Africa. Mimi huyu, It's called Beyond Idols. If you go online, you'll check out Beyond Idols. You see the team. We formed a band that took me out there. I was representing Africa. One of the great things that I always tell people is if you know your purpose, if you know why you're living, you will do everything to give us the best version of you. And it does not tie you to one, ties you to many, many other things. So I was able to meet many, many people out in the US. I've traveled to the US not once, severally. Somebody used to laugh at me and said, Helen, where sasa utakuja kuenda ngapa usiku gani? Umeiba na kasaga muda mrefu, lakini hiyo time yote umeiba nao. Hata kangabu ujawahi ingia. Kapia, ara, kwane, koja uone. So I started out. When I went, I started with 28 different states in America. Then they called us again. We went to 17 different states in America. I know America better than the Americans themselves. So I say one of the ways that my gift has connected me to people, connected me to great personalities, is first I allowed myself to explore what other ways can I be able to express this gift. It opens avenues for me in different countries. South Africa. The time I went to South Africa, a conference that happens once in 10 years, it's called the Lausanne Conference. I went to Lausanne and I was among the Africans that were highlighted in Lausanne Conference, a conference that attracts over millions of people. Stage, have you seen a stage of 30,000 people? 30,000 seated. Now, I want to even know, But also one of the things that has made me stay on course is the fact that I remember all the time. Remember, you're as good as your last dance. You're as good as your last dance. So that makes me remember never to be proud. Don't be proud and start stepping on people because you don't know about tomorrow. You don't know about tomorrow. And after doing Tasker Project Fame, I think I'm very popular. It gets into my head, I feel like, wow. So I'm in London, this guy asked me, who are you? I'm like, hey, Buana. You should know people. That phrase, I don't know whether you actually. They asked me at the airport, where are you going? Actually, they look at my passport and say, so who are you? Hey. And that time, the song that says, who can Vogue me? Who can Vogue me? Was on Vogue, you know? And then another one was says, do you know me? Do I know you? That's when I realized that ideally, nobody knows me yet. So I got to the US and it was the first time every place I stepped on, everybody asked me, who are you? By the time I came back, the next time I went, they were receiving me like a celebrity. Now, you know, US, you know, the way US people can actually blow up somebody's horn. If you're a musician and you're going there even for 1 week, etc., they will put it everywhere. So you become a celebrity. Do you know I was a celebrity more in the US than in my country? We sing and do flash mobs in the US. People clap for you here. You come and see. People look at you like somebody. Kwani kumetaje? Kisho imeharibika. You know? So I continued doing me anyway, but I remembered that when I went to the US and people loved our music, I would do our music with a lot of precision, a lot of style. I would do our music with professionalism. I would do the music that you listened to. I would think of anything creative, what would sell us, so that by the time my music is out there or anybody listens to me, they want to listen to me again and again. And again, my advice for people out there, if you have identified that this is your gift, don't go to it for the fame because you might be surprised. Do it knowing that one, you want to change life. My life changed at Daystar. It was transformed at Daystar. And then do it knowing that God is your payer. Don't go and do it for the monies because you'll be surprised again. It might not pay you. I mean, in the process of doing me, I was known. My late friend, Achieng Abura, used to tell people, don't just go anywhere. Choose where you go. Now, my philosophy was different. It was go everywhere until they know you. That's where we differed. She would tell people, well, unless the deal is too good, and unless they pay you, do not go. But for me, I was like, listen, I'll go to every place they want me. Because if anything, they are my TV set. So I'd work my gift, whether people watch me or not, sharpen my gift, whether people pay me or not, because I know that when I leave that stage, I'm leaving a legacy. And every experience is always different. Every experience is always different. Now, let me talk about the challenges. Some of the challenges that I've received is when people see you at a certain pedestal, they imagine that you have all the monies. They also imagine that you live large. One of the things I told God, I said, you know, Lord, let me live as unto you. I don't want to live large and then be somebody's child who is suffering. So one, I invest in people big time, big time, big time. I would sacrifice. I would get money. But the first thing I would think of is who around me can I help? Because that has ripple effect other than just deciding, let me live me, do me, enjoy me. So once I invested in people, I realized that it made me even become more popular because I created ambassadors. My gift, I decided not to be selfish. Teaching many people is not easy as well because all types of people come to you, even people who do not know how to sing, but they want you to make them productive. That is one of the biggest challenges because you have to live up to people's expectations. Also, the fact that people believe when you have polished yourself, people imagine that you have all the money it's required. They start imagining that any time they have a problem, you must solve it. You know, must, M-U-S-T, capital letters, bold and underlined. You must. So I had to learn to say no to some of those. I had learned to say no to anybody who just ask for money, let them work for it. That's one of the things people know me for, by the way. You don't just come to me and ask for my money. And unless I planned it, I plan to help you out. I don't just give out money like that. So unless you prove to me that there's something you can do. So for people who ask for money, I would look for something for them to do. Then it feels like I did not give them. They actually worked for it. The other challenge is now what I was talking to you about, where people see you in the limelight and everybody imagine that you are an item for sex, you know? People are imagining, they imagine all sorts of things. And then with the technology that has come today, there's a lot of ways that you can actually look whatever you want to look like, you know? People see you out there and then imagine, I love this famous Kenyan say that who took a ground would be different, you know? Yeah, you look very pretty, yes. And then you don't assume that any pretty lady has money. We'd be surprised that hizo pesa nazo naweza kuwa haziko. Yeah, and then also don't imagine that everybody is so generous. They can give you the money that you want. You'll be surprised when they don't give you the money, then what do you want? Another challenge that I have gone through is now balancing time. But at Daystar, I learned how to balance time. There's a course we took. It used to be called Study Skills. I learned how to balance time. You have so much in front of you, and yet you have to produce. I scored very high marks, by the way. I also tell people, talk to people about education. You need those papers. I was able to balance my study. I would also tell any upcoming musician or any of the singers that come my way is education is important. You need it. I tell them also to balance education, balance time for themselves, balance rest time. Burnout is one of the worst things that can happen to anyone. I suffered burnout on the last Project Fame that I did. The last Project Fame wasn't very good for me. I balanced between too many things. And I'm a person who can work, you know, both in day and night. If I have to accomplish something, I will not sleep until I see it done and done with perfection, you know. That thing of balancing your time had to continuously bring in my mind after listening to a speaker who said, you know, you can't be Jesus, you can't be the savior of the world. Yeah, so create time for yourself. I would plan my time, plan my family time, plan it like the way people put in the calendar on this date, on this time, at this time, I want to, you know? And then Corona came. So when Corona came, I thank God, it was part of the reason why I was able to even look brighter is because there was a lot of rest, a lot of time to rest, which was very, very important. You know, have you ever slept until you feel like, no, I'm not sleeping anymore? Have you ever chosen a day and said, you know, I'm going to sleep the whole day? And it can happen. It can happen. Yeah, so today I know the importance of rest. I take rest as one of the most important things in life.
One thing I've noticed about you, okay, you're a huge personality, and you remind me of my aunt called Helen, one of the first Kenyan to be at Makerere and that kind of thing. But something else we're talking to you now, your sense of self, you affirm yourself. You take yourself seriously, but also with a lot of fun and a lot of fanfare.
Yes. Yeah, when I was doing Tusker Project Fame, people thought that I'm a very strict. I was like, you know, I'm an actress. You want me to act like a principal? I can be a principal. I can be very harsh and tough. If you want me to become tough, I can be very tough. But now when people now meet me as a person, woo-wee, if there's a person who people can manipulate, until my daughter sometimes comes in and says, no, don't do this to my mother. You know, my mother can't do this, et cetera. Because people now who are very close to me, they can manipulate big time. So I fell trapped in of that once. But then for people who see me out there and then come and interact with me now, who are ground, they're like, you know. So I've had to learn also how to set boundaries so that I know that nobody is going to abuse my goodness and take my goodness for granted. Because I can be very good. I can be on the other extreme. I'm an extremist.
Wow.
Yeah, I can be on the other. People who have met me in person wonder whether I'm the same person. They're like, wow. You know, they even wonder, I didn't know that you're such a fun person. But some of these things are things that I learned.
When you wake up in the morning, is there something you tell yourself or you think, or is there a place you go in your mind to set up your day? And I've seen this with a lot of CEOs, and kind of they wake up in the morning and they have these practices and routines. They wake up very early, maybe at 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. And they have these routines. When you wake up in the morning, what's your routine?
Yes. Yeah. There's certain times that I do routine. There's certain times I stay out of routine. I stay out of routine to listen to my body. Because I'm 51 years old. 51, wow. Take a mark.
There's no way. there's no way you're 51.
Sometimes I ask myself, for real, I have lived for over 50 years.
That's half a century.
Yes.
Plus one.
Yes. Plus one.
Wow.
So my body tells me, Aaron, you are not 24. You are not 24, okay? Take yourself slowly. So I wake up on the bed. I'm like, what? Okay, that's my back. Hey, okay, go slowly. Slowly, okay, stretch out, stretch. Okay, now you can bend. The body reminds you, I'm like, where? T20, Rafadani, where did Rukaruka go? Rukaruka. Yeah, and at the time I really, really wanted very, very tiny weight and I couldn't get it. So easy, I'm not even struggling. I'm like, where did the weight go to? How come? You know, like that.
Congratulations on being 51.
I used to see Susan Kibukosia. Susan, yes. I don't know what her name right now is. Yeah, I know.
She's amazing.
Yes. I look at her. I'm like, Susan, how old? She could be 60 now or plus. But I tell you, she still looks like a small baby, 18 years old. And that's what I experienced also in the U.S. In the U.S., people take care of their bodies so, so well. Me, I don't know. I wouldn't say that I take care of my body. I eat all the wrong foods. I tell musicians, do not drink soda. Do not. I thank God that I know I eat all the wrong foods. But you know what? It's only God who decides how long you stay. There are people who eat right. They eat vegetables. Then what kills her? Something so nini margin do namuwa. Sijui ni maji ama ni kawaru ilikuwa mapa. Things come and, you know, you want to live so right so that you can live long. Then eventually...
Well, yes. Personally, I think, again, I don't judge people, but the way I choose to... Like, I don't take sodas. I haven't took sodas in a long time. I try to be calm and be in calm environments. You don't get that always. Live a certain life, healthy stuff if you can, because yes. We live in cities and cities can be expensive, but we're doing our best, let's say. But I want to take you back. Somebody talked about Susan Kibukosia. I met Susan in 93 when they had a band. They started one of the first Kenyan bands. Susan Joy and Joy Mboya and Judy Okana. I was a kid.
Yes.
They changed. They were the first women to do this in that level. Years on, you carry the mantle for the next generation. It's not only women because you were part of Project Fame and you travel the world.
Yeah.
And you carry the art for the next.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Is there something now that you know that you didn't know then, in music and in life generally? Something that you've come to know that
something
you know
that
now?
I didn't know in music.
And in life.
What I didn't know in music is that you could actually better your art, that you could listen to other people and then come out with you. But now I know that you can actually become a vocalist, not just a singer. Display your voice. Use your voice to create the wow effect. That I didn't know then. In life in general, when you identify who you are, You don't have to live like other people. That's one of the things that I think my daughter reminds me all the time. She tells me, Mom, you're a musician. You're a singer. Daddy's a singer. I don't have to be. But yet you realize one side, she really loves choral music. She listens to music throughout. My daughter does not sleep without music ever since she was born. She sleeps with music throughout. So I'm like, you cannot even say that you're not a musician, because ideally you live music. Me, sometimes when I come from a concert, I do not want to hear any music. I want silence. Silence. You should see me when I go to hotels. Big hotels, you'll never find me opening the TV. Never. Never. If I go to a hotel, that's time for me alone. Listen to silence. And for me, I find that very therapeutic. Listen to the voices in my head. At no point will you find me go to a hotel to go and listen to doof, twaf, doof, doof. If I listen to doof, twaf, I'm working. I'm a person who works with noise. That way I will be motivated. But also, I thank God for my husband, who is not a harasser. You know, there's some men who are just too good to live with. You know, him, he allows us to have days of doing nothing. Nothing. You'll wake up, even look at your bed, you will touch nothing. Just wake up and do you. That little space, you'll not find him harassing us. Why are the plates not washed? Why have you, Apana? You'll never find him, never ever find him like that. And then whatever you do, he appreciates you. Like, wow, that's nice. Wow, today you did this. Okay, beautiful. So that there are times that you have low moments, there are times that you have high moments. Enjoy both of them. Enjoy them all. You will live for long. Yes.
Would you say finding this joy is what's keeping your spirit going?
My source of joy, my baby. Ooh, my daughter is my source of joy. And she doesn't like it when I say that. She's like, Mom, now you're making me feel like you have set the standard up there. I have to always look for a way to make you happy. No, I told her, no. Yeah, so the fact that I have another product that looks like me makes me happy. But ideally, if somebody knows that there's God who cares about them. And the ultimate is live for God. You will find joy all the time. That people can do stuff that annoy you, but at the end of the day, recognize God. And if you see the essence of God in this life, you will avoid a lot of strain. People strain in different ways. People know your assignment. I think that was one of the preachings that one of our pastors preached this week, past weekend. Because I know my assignment in this world. I know what I live for. And whatever I do passionately. I find a source of joy. You'll find somebody who annoys me. Atani annoy. Lakini, if somebody comes to me with a guitar and singing, and that very moment, probably ata imbe wimbo kuni, imbia mimi mwenye seme hele nywele zako zinakawaya. Zimekatika katika mbona sioni silul. Nikitaka silul naona tachukua nywele yako nisugue nayo sufuria tukule vizuri. You know, it will make me feel nice. It will make me feel nice, etc. Sometimes music is abused. People use it as a filler. But if you use music to console the heart, especially if it's music that has very nice words, that will make me become very happy. There are certain songs that. Hata ukinimbia haje, my daughter, why kwanza my daughter listens to some music? Her music is just too different from what I listen to. But there's some music that she touches like this, I feel like, okay, don't even leave, stay there, you know? Yeah. Once you identify what you live for, utaacha stress mingi sana. That mimi, nobody harasses me, oh, by the way, I wanted you to do this because of this, etc. Helen, you need to, but call me, Puja, we want you to sing at this, I will do it wholeheartedly.
So you've talked about God being a source of joy. How about those people who don't believe or do not believe in religion?
Yeah, I don't know how they survive, because for me, God summarizes everything, because there's just a certain joy you get in reading the Bible or staying with people who know God, because you'll console. It's God, you have not seen God, yes, but and even the music, the worship music, there's just a way that when you play some, you feel tears coming off your eyes even without question. So I don't know how people who don't know God survive.
Speaking of music, we've seen the transformation and the great transformation for Kenyan music, which became local music, Tanzania, Ugandan. We gave that name to music, and I remember that journey. It started about 20 years ago. Do you think Kenyan music is going in the right direction right now? And what are some of the artists that we should be looking at that you're excited about?
Yeah, people keep asking that where is Kenyan music going? Do you think we have content? Things like that. But this is my take. My take is Kenyan music is unique. Don't darau. They say a prophet is not without honor except his own country. We should not nullify and say that Kenyan music is not going anywhere because we still have Kenyan artists who sing and touch people's lives. What I had trouble with is content. But look at what's happened in South Africa. Somebody just came up with a song and what they do is, achoo! As in, there's no words in that music. It's just achoo. Seriously. Yeah. And South Africa's cause the audio is meharibu kabisa. It's just beat. I'm a piano. Our piano has no music. You just nod your head, you know. Achoo kucha. Hey, a baby mate.
Yeah.
People just making noise and then people doom 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 doom. Yani content completely. Their content is kidogo. And look at Tanzanians. Tanzanians have very good Swahili. Nice songwriting skills. You hear and you hear content complete. Kenyans can't do that. But anyway.
But let's be fair. Let's be fair. I mean, again, 20 years, we were the capital of music in 1960s, 1970s. Yeah. Kirinyaga Road had all these capital, Epic, Sony, all these people in there. And then from the 70s, that went away because of dictatorship and that stuff. Tanzanians always kept singing their music.
Yeah, but you see, Tanzanians are doing them. Hmm. It's their language. It depends on who teaches them. In Kenya, we don't have people who teach you how to songwrite. It's today that now we have woken up. We're like, you know what? Let's teach people how to write songs. Let's teach people how to build content. And that's why our music somehow will be just one hit wonders and it's gone like that. Until we're able to realize that even Kenyan songwriters will have to have a wake-up call. Yesterday, I went to Riruta, and on my way, going to Riruta, I found a driver who was playing my music. You know how that made me feel? Even me, I don't listen to my music after the studio. That's it. I don't listen to it again. I feel like, because I'll keep kosoaring it and finding mistakes. So I usually don't listen to it until I hear it somewhere else. If I listen to my music played by someone else, it makes me smile. I'm like, wow, they're playing my music. Then it gives me motivation to sing it. But for me, I go to the studio, I do the music. As soon as I'm out of the studio, I don't listen to it again at all. That's why, again, unfortunately, I'm a creative. I don't believe in track number three, because that used to force me to memorize the song the way it is. But I'm a spontaneous person. I write songs on the spot. So I realized that would jeopardize my desire to continue singing. I don't listen to my music after the studio. But I tell you, music is a process in Kenya. Music is a process in Africa. Music does not stop at where you did it. It keeps, new things keep unfolding. You should talk to Eric Wainaina or stay near Eric Wainaina for 1 week. You'll be like, is this guy crazy? Because he'll write a song today. You're thinking the song is finished. Tomorrow, no. I think this is to go here. I think it's, then he creates another verse. No. I think that verse is not right. Through the week, he can change the song 305 times. You're like, hey, Eric, wachana na yo bimbo, imeshaisha, wachana na yo. Even for Mojandiza, I think you'll see even songwriting it when he sings it. And that's one problem with creatives like us, that we keep writing. We keep writing and keep writing. We keep discovering.
It reminds me of one of the best advice I was ever given when I was starting out You have to know when to stop.
Yes.
And I just started making films as a kid, in teenager. And I was told, you have to know when it stops.
Yeah.
Not where, just you say stop. And when you say you don't listen to your music, it reminds me of that. You have to know. Because if you go back there and listen to it, you always find...
You find a mistake. You will always find something different. Like, why didn't I sing like this?
Yeah,
you always find a mistake.
But the strange thing is, like when I watch a movie, I listen to a song. The first time I listen for the entertainment value, and the second time I listen to what they're saying, the instrument, all that stuff. And as I go, I'm learning stuff. But even that has to stop. I mean, where do you start living your life and all that stuff?
I would not be worried at where Kenyan music is, because ideally, the new songs are yet to be born.
So let's say in closing, perhaps, I mean, you're learning to rest now. That's a really awesome yes. stuff. But going forward, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I thought I would rest at 50, but I realized that I was even looking younger and growing younger at heart and even rejuvenated at 50. So I decided, okay, let me discover new things. Let me find out new things. So online, I have about 4 schools spread out globally. This is one called Africa Online Vocalists. That's for growing talent. It's like Tusker Project FM, but online. Okay, I have partners from all over the world. I have contestants from all over the world, and all over. And we usually get viewership from all over as well. I have another school called Talanta Ajira. Talanta Ajira, I partnered with somebody called Brian Juma in Mombasa. Right now, most of the artists for Talanta Ajira are the ones I took up. There's one in school at Desa University. Actually, 2 of them are at Desa University, so that they can actually better their music. And then there are others that are doing stuff in Mombasa and doing weird. I mean, they're exploring themselves out there. There's another one that I also have that I work with called Nairobi Performing Arts Studio. That one I partner with Stuart Nash. We're based at National Theatre, as well as we visit schools and high schools to do music, dance, and drama. That one we teach music, dance, and drama. Katie and I can sing. It's one of the other ones that Kenyans love a lot after Tusker Project Fame. At this, I also have a group called Afrizo Voices. That's the one that I usually sing with in different events, corporate events, weddings, cocktails, birthday parties, invited as a band to sing. I also didn't tell you that I play all instruments. I play all instruments. Yeah, out of curiosity, you know. I play keys, I play the bass, I play the lead guitar. But that one guitar, I play just rhythm. And then I play mouth saxophone. And the people call it trumpet. I also play the drum set. I love the drums most.
And your voice.
Yes, and my voice.
And you speak 16 languages?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. And the question I want to ask right now is, where do you get the time? Wow.
You create time. Like I said, at this I learned study skills. It teaches you how to manage your time. That also helped me to manage my time, to be able to create time for different other things. Yes, and I give them different type of commitments at different times, you know? Yeah, and then better. Whatever I need to do, I do it to the best of my knowledge. If it is playing drums, I learn drums and play it to the best of my knowledge. If it is keyboard, I learn keyboard and play it to the best of my knowledge, like that. There's some that you can actually simultaneously do with other things, yeah. Yeah, with technology, there's a lot you can do simultaneously. We should go to AOV. All those posters, I'm the one who did it.
Wow.
There are many posters. I do posters. I'm an artist. In my high school, I learned fine art. I learned imaginative drawing. I learned a lot on fine art. I realized that that also could translate to graphic design, fashion design. Nobody does my hair. I do my hair myself. Everything. Even with makeup, nini, I do them myself. There's a lot that's going to happen and unfold. Hoping I can be able to do a tour in Korea.
No, where do we get your music?
Get my music on Boomplay, on YouTube, on Spotify, on iTunes.
What are the titles?
Oh, gosh. Oh, Lord, there's so many.
give us some like for somebody who's starting out.
There's one called Ango. There's a Luo one called Ango. There's another one called Itelona. There's another one called, gosh, okay. Oh, Lord, I have so much. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
I didn't know all of them by heart, by name, but I can tell you. There's one that's called Testimony. That's the one that people really love. And there's a Corona song. There's also a Corona song. I did Corona. I write music daily, Bala. So,
yeah.
But this one, somebody just put them for me online for them to be able to access.
Mm.
Yeah, but I have many. I have too many songs. Too many. There are those that I sing collabos. There are those that I sing on my own. There are those that I create on the spot. There's Emmanuel. So we're listening to this yesterday. There's Emmanuel. That's for Christmas. I have a whole album on Christmas music. Redone, you know. I have a whole album. Oh. On Christmas songs. You want Christmas songs rejuvenated, done in style, the African way. Just go to Boomplay. You'll find a whole album. My music. Oh, Lord. There's one called Happy Day. Yeah, I may have so many songs here. I can't even know the name.
How do you remember them when you have to play them? And the reason I ask this is because fans never forget. Fans know every word to every song. Every word,
yes.
So how
like
do you remember?
This guy was playing my music. He was playing. I just remember because, of course, I wrote them. But again, I told you once I have done song in a studio, I forget it.
Yeah.
I go on and keep writing and keep writing. I can't remember a song because of the title I give it. I know. Because I keep writing. Hata jana niliandika wimbo ingine. See, I write songs. I also write theme songs for companies. There's one I did for CBC just recently. You know? So,
The funny thing is people don't understand. A song is not written in a day. You write it and you have to re-record it like 100 times. So when you leave, you're just done with that song for the moment. People don't understand that.
I'm done with it completely. Yeah, I don't even listen to it again. But later, probably if I get somebody who is listening to it, then I can listen to it again. I need thee every hour, happy day, precious Lord, exalted, mpakawewe, this corona one, asante, God is good. I have so many. I think I've done not even 8. I think I've done 15 albums.
Wow. That's amazing.
I include the one I've done with my husband, the one I've done with Afrizo. The one I've written on my own. There are some that I don't. I lost them in a computer. They were recorded, but I lost them in some computer there.
Yeah. You've had such a nice career. Not only that, it's Kenya. We live in a world where art is not taken as serious sometimes.
Yeah.
And you have 15 albums. There might be somebody who wants to start art. They don't know how to start. Yeah. What, in closing, what would you say to them to inspire them? Not to advise them, just to inspire them.
One more thing I want to tell you. If you want to do your music, record it somewhere. Record it, and it can happen. Don't be discouraged because of having no studio to record or no money. People wait for money so that they can actually changa and go to a studio. No. Go to conferences where musicians are, connect with producers. Ask them to do for you just one song. If you find a producer, do not leave the hands of a producer without convincing them to do for you one song that you will not pay, one song that they will leave in the studio to inspire them.
Mm.
That could be the beginning of your, just okay. One song. Yeah, I'll tell rap artists, and rap artists are very good at that. They usually get favors with producers, and they do just one song. Before they know it, the producers call them to do many songs. So if you think you're inspired and you think you have the gift, ask for help. And people are always willing to help.
Thank you very much. To another 100 years. Looking young. But you're growing backwards, so.
I hope so. At 100 that I was still looking young. Nice,
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if there's anything else we've left out that you wanted to speak to or, you know, wanted to share with the world.
Thank you for this opportunity, by the way. Thank you so much for making me speak to you at the time I didn't expect. Yeah, and the right questions also, yeah. Asking some of those questions, I might not have answered all of them, but I want to tell musicians who are upcoming out there that times are changing big time. Let's hear something unique from you guys. Don't copy. Imitation is limitation. I once told a musician that, and he said, Allah, but why does the Bible tell us to imitate Christ? Of course, it's because Christ is perfect. Imitate him for his perfectness. But want to imitate a human being, you have flaws because you'll be limiting yourself quite a lot. So find a way to stand out with your uniqueness. Mimi, I ask God to always rejuvenate me and make me discover myself and discover new things. Don't go to class to imitate what the teacher says. Go to class to get out and think about what they've said so that you can come out with something new, something that has not been discovered. Ask God to give you wisdom for newness. Ask him to always give you ability to create. Teach us for creative thinking, started emerging like pretty recently. So today you think out of the box, you stand out. And thinking out of the box could be pretty easy, pretty simple. Just ask God to give you ability to do something that is unique. Because the moment you do something that stands out, everybody will desire to have you. And it's still Kenyan, by the way, to have people just want you everywhere because of the new things you have discovered. So remember, you're still on Vogue. As long as you discover new stuff, you will be looked for. Sasa wacha niseme ile imesomwa. Uyo ilisomwa, wacha niseme ile natoka kwa kichwa yangu. You want to get me? Get on Facebook, look for Helen Akoth Mtawalle. My page is Helen Mtawalle. You want to come to our schools, go to Africa Online Vocalist, capital letters, and usually it's written official. And then small letters is our page, Africa Online Vocalist. The other team, yuko na talanta ya kupika, talanta ya kukula, talanta ya kutafuta njia kutengeneza nywele. Apart from just singing, you have something else that you're talented in, go to Talanta Talanta Ajira. It's called Ajira because you don't just get the talent. You will bet you'll be ajiriwad. So we connect you to the industry. Apart from just getting that talent out, we also connect you to the industry. That's Talanta Ajira. The page has double I, Ajira, A-G-E-I-R-A, you know, A-G-E-I-R-A, you know, and then the page, that's the page. The group is Talanta Ajira, okay? Also, if you want to know how to do dance, drama, and music, kindly get to Nairobi Performing Arts Studio. Nairobi Performing Arts Studio will connect you also to the industry because that one now we do physical meeting, not online anymore. But we meet you face to face. You're in high school, that's a place for you to go to Nairobi Performing Arts Studio. My Twitter is at Helen Mtawalle. My Instagram is at Helen Mtawalle or at Pretty B. Pretty alafu B-I-I. Also, my TikTok, I'm a TikToker. Yeah. Para, I'm not a para, I don't party. Find me on TikTok at Helen Akoth Mtawalle without the I. Helen Akoth Mtawalle without the I. That's one word, Helen Akoth Mtawalle, all in small letters. Find me on TikTok and then the rest is detail.
Good stuff. So, you've said it all, yes.
I want to know that you're available, Daniel, so that I can inspire others who would also probably channel their gifting to where your direction is.
I can avail myself. Anytime you need me, let me know. Wow, good stuff. Let's end it at that. And thank you for your time. Thank you for being such an icon. And thank you for being an inspiration. You know, it's been amazing talking to you as always. In fact, I was looking forward to this conversation because of just your personality. It's just going to be a happy conversation.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. It's been good. Yeah.
Anytime.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Now. All right. Bye for now.
Okay.
On my way out, I'd like to thank Helen Mtawalle. She's been, I mean, come on. It was really, really awesome and fun. And you know, revealing and, you know, going through her journey. Amazing, amazing conversation. And I want to thank you also for being here. Remember to go, please follow her, support her work, support her initiatives as you also support this podcast and these productions. Ken Stories by Daniel Dua. There's Conversations with Daniel Dua podcast and videos and other stuff. It's all available. It's all free. And it's thanks to your support. Running out of words here. But thank you for joining me. Until the next one. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Ken Stories. Remember, Ken Stories is a long-form podcast. We sit with some of your favorite artists, some of your favorite business people, personality, people from all over the place who are doing amazing stuff. My name is Daniel Dua. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe, join, share, like, all that good stuff. Join me on the next Ken Stories. Until next time, goodbye.